It was about 7:30 this morning, and my phone buzzed, and there was Stephen's name. And Steve said, "How are you?" And I said, "Well, I was thinking about getting up and maybe go to hear you preach, or maybe not." And he said, "Well," and he invited me to fill in because he's under the weather. It's always a pleasure to preach the gospel. It's always a pleasure to share the good news and remember. And he said, "Could you do some remembrance of communion? Do some words about communion." Well, if you've been in ministry as long as I have and you can't do something on communion right away, what have you been doing? The fact is, I love communion. In my childhood in Church of Ireland, we were taught that communion was the most solemn service of the church. And I never agreed with that. It's solemn, but it's joyful. It's a wonderful event. It's a tremendous event. What a magnificent thing is communion. And yet calling it a thing isn't enough, is it? What a magnificent experience? Yeah. What a magnificent sacrament and ordinance. This morning I'm thinking of it as a gift. What a magnificent gift God has given us. What a gift that Jesus, when he met with the disciples for that Last Supper, had the meal, and he said, "This do in remembrance of me." Communion reminds me of so much, especially when we celebrate it every month and we bring it back month after month. It reminds me of what God has done for me in Christ, what he's done for all of us. 2 Corinthians 5:19 tells us, "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us." Two things there: not counting their trespasses against them. Good, thank you, Lord. Because if you did, I'd be nowhere. But then he says, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Reconciliation is a fantastic thing. It offers, well, have you ever been out of sorts with somebody and then were reconciled? Reconciliation brings on a change in the relationship between two people, from hostility to love, from being on the out to being on the in, from being ignored to being a friend. Reconciliation, provided by Jesus, reminding us today, from hostility to love. The atonement of Christ accomplished this on a cross. He satisfies God's wrath and satisfies God's anger over our sin and brought us back. In our unredeemed state, we were enemies with God. In Ephesians, we read, "Remember that you were without Christ, being aliens and from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." With no hope and without God in the world. Imagine what it would be like for you and for me if we did not have God in our world with us. Without God in the world. But now, the writer of Ephesians says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Without God, with God. Without God's presence, with God's presence. in a world of self-sufficiency, where everything can and must be purchased, we are reminded that God provides for us something we cannot purchase, something we cannot earn, something we cannot bargain for. It's a free gift, and as a free gift purchased by Jesus on the cross, it's available to all who trust him. And in trusting him, they are redeemed, they are forgiven, they're brought into fellowship with God again. God, the Creator. Consider what that is. Imagine that. You and I have a one-on-one relationship with our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, our Father. In a world of uncertainty, communion reminds me that I have a direct relationship with the Heavenly Father, on whom I can depend always, on whom I can depend to love me, on whom I can depend to care for me, to provide for my needs, to give me strength, on whom I can depend to chasten me, and who will never let me down. What a magnificent thing God has done in Christ. At communion, I'm reminded of all of this. And then I'm reminded that I'm part of a spiritual family that is very much physical. We're bound together by God's Spirit, and we are very much individual people. Scripture says you're members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong to God's household with every other Christian. In the fellowship of the local church, as in any well-functioning family, here we can discover, in relationship to each other, we discover our roles in life, our giftedness, our strength, our weakness. Here, communion reminds me, we learn to love and be loved. Here we learn to serve and to be served, which is sometimes harder than serving. Here we learn to give and to receive. Here we learn to cry and to laugh. Here we meet God together as we worship and serve and sacrifice. Communion reminds me of that. It brings me back to it every time. I'm reminded that we're moved out of our self-centered isolation and we become part of the body that suffers. When one suffer, they all suffer. One part rejoices, we all rejoice. In this family, we develop spiritual muscles as we learn to bear one another's burdens and care for one another in Christ. The local church family keeps us from backsliding in some ways as we encourage each other daily that so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, we read in Hebrews. Communion reminds me of all this. At communion, I'm reminded of what God has done. I'm reminded that I'm part of a local church, and I'm reminded that I'm part of the church universal. Today, World Communion Sunday. All across the world, the body meets and worships. In great and grand cathedrals, and in thatched roof lean-tos, in bustling cities and in quiet mountain valleys, where people dress in their Sunday finery and where people wear rags, where they sing songs of the faith in languages far too many for us to number, in musical styles both ancient and modern, songs unique to each culture, in music and poetry foreign to our Western ears, but music to God's ears, all proclaiming the praise of a loving God. In the words of the great hymn that we're going to sing later, elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. And not only is this a worldwide family, it's a timeless family. All who have been in the faith from creation to the end of time are in this family with you and with me. I'm reminded at this table that I'm in a family with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. I'm one with Noah and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and the prophets. I'm reminded that I'm a spiritual sibling with Peter and James and John and Thomas. But, and this may be the more immediate significant thing, and this may bring us even more comfort. We are one with all who have sat at this table with us and who now live in the eternal mansions prepared for them by a loving God. And we are all with those who one day will sit here where we are, all who will come and confess Christ as their Savior. What a magnificent gift is communion. I'm glad to share it with you. It never gets old. It always brings grace and comfort. And it always anchors us in God's magnificent love. Amen.